Hello and welcome to the TVox podcast. I'm Jenny Kirk.
And I'm Zoe Robinson.
And we're going to be here talking a little bit about clothing tips, looking really at what trans people can do to improve their passability with clothing and sort of highlighting some of the, I suppose, faux pas that it's very easy mistakes to make that do unfortunately make us more visible. So we're going to go through a few of those.
Yes, I've talked about visibility. If you ever look at a young child who's been allowed to dress themselves, they'll pick, often anyway, they'll pick wild and outlandish clothing that gets them noticed. I think it's human nature that we start out with this innate desire to be seen. And as we grow older and conform more with society, we learn to blend in and look like the rest of the crowd.
I think also there's the younger you are, and this also goes for trans people, because obviously when you transition, you're in at the deep end. You're new to living the gender role that you're in, whereas cisgendered people of your age have had all that childhood to learn all the fashion faux pas. And I think, you know, when people are young, it may not necessarily be apparent that certain clothes don't really make you blend in. They look, make you look a bit stupid. Things like pink tutus, day glow orange leggings.
There's a time and place for those. If you've gone clubbing, then yeah, that's acceptable if you're in a certain age bracket. But and also, I think it's a case of learning to build identity and expressing your identity with your outfits.
Yeah, and being confident in your identity and also finding what works best for yourself. I mean, it's also true to say that what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another.
That's definitely true.
Mm. And I suppose one of the biggest fashion faux pas that all trans people, trans men and trans women do, is dressing too formally for everyday wear. You know, it's really easy to use. And I don't like stereotypes, but, you know, the stereotype of a trans woman is with the, you know, running around in a ball gown.
And, the twin satin pearls.
Yes, you know, and the Lily Savage wig. And it makes you stand out. Unless you're going to a really, really posh do, ball gown is not everyday wear. And, you know, it's the same with trans men. You see a lot of trans men will be dressing up. You know, the tux gets worn out in the first year.
That is the thing. The tux for everyday wear. Sorry, guys, you're not James Bond.
Yeah, I don't think they're quite that bad. But, you know, it's like any excuse, get the tux out.
And well, weren't we the same when we first transitioned? I know I was.
Mm-hmm.
My other faux pas was dressing too young.
Well, I think we tended to be too formal. We had a lot of things like ankle-length velvet skirts that would have looked very, very nice had we been going out to a goth night clubbing.
Or a dance.
Yeah, or this
this
posh
is the thing. Everyone goes through this. We're not taking the mick out of anyone unnecessarily here. It is something that we all learn. Because you find what works for you and what looks nice, but you have to tailor it to the situation. And I have to admit, I used to go to work in very formal outfits where a lot of other people at work were wearing casual clothes. So, of course, I stood out there as well.
It's yeah,
a case
definitely.
Of adapting to your surroundings.
Definitely, yeah. And I think you also touched on dressing to your age. There's obviously a lot of trans people don't transition till much later in life. I know a few people who've transitioned in their 40s, 50s. And, you know, I've heard about people transitioning even in their 60s and 70s. And there's always this temptation to kind of, you know, you feel like you've got a second childhood. But unfortunately, you have to dress to match the kind of age group that you're in. And, you know, there's nothing more tragic than seeing somebody who's 50-year-old with you know, the baseball cap on backwards, the big T-shirt saying Fat Willie's Surf Shack, and with a skateboard under one arm. You know, it's, you know, maybe you do feel like you missed your childhood. And I know at times I've felt, going through transition, that it is almost like I'm, you know, a teenager again. But you have to resist that temptation to wear teenagers' clothes, because it does make you stand out. It does make you look almost odd.
And to, on the other side of that, it comes back to dressing too formally, and it's also dressing too old. We've both made that mistake as well.
Mm.
choosing clothing that looks really nice and you think that'll look good for work, and when you put it on, actually it makes you look about 20 years older than you should be.
Yeah, it makes you look like your own granny.
If you're dressing like your mother and you're still 20, 30 years old, it's probably not the best idea. You are going to stand out just as much as if you were dressing too young.
Yeah, I think the best thing and the best advice that we can give is that you really need to look at cisgender people roughly your own age. See what they're wearing, what's working for them. And I suppose follow the fashion, and you can't go far wrong.
Well, follow the fashion to a certain extent. I mean, I've now found, I've been transitioned for 4 years now, and I've found that I do follow the fashion when the fashion works for me, but I also find things that suit me because I've had the experience and the time. And it's a case of having the confidence to go to shops and try things on and look in the mirror as you're in the changing room.
Yeah, definitely.
Find what actually suits you.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it earlier on, that what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. So,
yes, you know, exactly.
Going with things like, obviously with hairstyles, certain people have got thick, luscious, curly hair. And if you've got limp, thin, straight hair, you can't really go for the same hairstyles. And it works the same with clothes. Pies have been your thing, then you can't get away with wearing things that are designed for people who are a size 6, and vice versa as well, because one thing that we found is that if you wear like baggy jumpers and stuff, it does radically change how you look and how you present yourself.
Yeah, the last thing you need is to look like you're dressed up in someone else's clothes.
Definitely, yeah. And the other thing is, never feel, it's something that I've seen a lot with trans women especially, is early in transition, they feel obliged, like must wear skirts. And at the end of the day, look around you. A lot of women do wear trousers, jeans, and you shouldn't feel that you have to wear certain clothes just to conform with a gender stereotype. I mean, naturally, there will be some clothes which will accentuate femininity or accentuate masculinity. Sometimes we do tend to find ourselves steering clear of those because we're frightened that they will make us not pass. But there's no real clothes that are sort of banned. If you're transitioning male to female, there's nothing wrong with wearing trousers and jeans. You can get jeans and trousers that are cut for women, and there's nothing wrong with wearing them. You can pass perfectly well with those. But by the same token, if you like wearing skirts like I do, then nothing to stop you from wearing them. But just find out what works best for you, what you're comfortable with, because if you're comfortable in what you're wearing, that you feel at ease, that too passes across into your body language. You come across as much more confident.
Definitely.
Right, well, I think we've covered all we can on that subject.
I was about to say the same thing. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I always do that. But you wanted to talk about cisgender privilege, and I suspect you're going to be doing most of the talking because I think you're more well-read in this area than I am.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's just something that came up on the internet last night when I was reading around. And I suppose it harks back to some of the things we've said before in other podcasts regarding the way other people want to speak for us and try and drown out our own voices. That's pretty much what cisgender privilege comes down to. Other people trying to make our decisions and silence us because they think they know better than us.
Yeah, they're just deciding what we want. I know I've talked about this before, that a lot of minorities get this, and people, it's almost patronising that people assume they know what we want and actually they get it wrong, and then we get the blame for them trying to implement something. But I think also I've seen said a lot about cisgender privilege. A lot of trans people find that people do ask them very personal questions. And I suppose cisgender privilege is about not getting asked whether you've got a penis or a vagina, not getting asked about whether your boobs are real or not, and things like that. Not getting asked, have you had the op?
Basically, being accepted at face value because you're being born in the right body has meant that you're accepted as you. Whereas if, because we've had some kind of birth defect or whatever you want to call it, and we're born different, we're suddenly treated as outcasts and patronised little children that people can talk down to.
And yeah.
It frustrates. So if you're listening and you're a cisgender person, don't do it. Just treat us like normal people.
Yeah.
Because we are normal people.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's the old mantra, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yeah, if you, you know, if you're asking somebody like, say, do you have a penis or a vagina, feel how would you feel if some complete stranger walked up into the street and went, oh, have you got a penis or a vagina, or how big is your knob when fully erected, or, you know, all these kind of things, or, you know, are your breasts real, slap. You know, you wouldn't, you know, cisgender people wouldn't ask other cisgender people these questions, so they shouldn't really be asking other trans people that. And, you know, also trans people as well can be guilty of asking a little bit too in-depth questions. They always say that a group of trans people is a TMI of trans people. But I think we do all have to bear in mind...
Do you want to explain what the acronym is for anyone that doesn't know what it is?
TMI stands for too much information, because trans people, when together in a group, will immediately start talking usually about lots of gory surgery stuff and hormones and things like that. But I think we all have to be aware that not everybody wants to talk about that. And, you know, even if you're amongst trans people, it can be quite... well, it's certainly one of the biggest rude things is asking them, like, so what was your old name and things like that. Never, ever ask anybody that.
Yeah, it's all about power and the cisgender person's assumption that because they're normal, they get to ask all these kinds of things about the freak and the different person thing, and just basically putting them in their place. Like, you're here to entertain me, to give me information. Like, no, we're not. Mm. We're the same as you. We're equal to you. If you want to know something, do a bit of research first.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things I've lost count the number of times early in transition when, you know, it was probably slightly more obvious that I was trans and that, you know, some people who'd known me before were there around me through transition. And I used to get quite angry, people asking, so what did your name used to be? And also people who'd known me before who would sort of just introduce me as, you know, here's Jenny, she used to be X, as if somehow this was relevant information. And
they just assume they can. That's the thing. I said, all right, so Mr. Smith, your wife, she's changed her name to Mrs. Smith. Do you go around introducing her as, hi, this is my wife Patricia. She used to be called Patricia, I don't know, James or something like that.
Yeah,
of course you don't. It's the same thing.
It's not relevant information. So, and it can be quite hurtful because a lot of trans people do have problems with friends and family who are not receptive to the idea that they're transitioning. And while some of us can be quite lucky in that respect, other people aren't so lucky and do lose even very close family members. And sometimes they may wish to have broken ties with that past. They don't want people to know about their personal history and be able to trace back and find people, places and events. You know, it is a huge invasion of privacy. And, you know, that can be actually be very hurtful, mining somebody's past. You know, a lot of us do go stealth. It's one of the reasons that a lot of cisgender people don't, and a lot of trans people too, I suppose, don't actually fully understand how many trans people there really are in society, because most of us, once we've been through a transition and all the surgery and stuff, we go stealth. We disappear into the woodwork. We don't draw attention to the fact that we're trans. I know it's something that myself and you as well, Zoe, most people, if not everybody who we interact with on a daily basis, don't know about our past. And you know, I know that we would wish to keep it that way. We don't want being trans to be the big talking point around us.
Yes, it's just the same as, for example, sexuality. I mean, okay, the majority of people around where we live have an idea that we're probably a gay couple, but It's the same with gay people. Do you go out of your way to make sure that everyone knows that you're gay? Most people don't.
Yeah.
Because it's none of their business.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, I think we've done that one to death as well. Shall we end now?
Okay, have you got any more hot topics you want to talk about?
At the moment, no.
Okay, well, you've been listening to me, Jenny Kirk.
And me, Zoe Robinson.
Here on the T-Vox podcast, the all new improved. We actually found ourselves a radio studio, so we're recording these in quadraphonic sound. Actually, no.
We're recording them in two microphones attached to a big desk full of buttons.
Yeah, the magic of mono, but with two microphones. And there are many buttons, but hopefully we'll be recording some more podcasts to put up on the tvox.org support site, and keep tuned, keep popping in and checking for updates.
Goodbye.
Bye.